The Seth Green Ministry team and its international ministry partners welcomes you to another edition of The Journey. Whether working in some little jungle village in South Asia or the mean city streets in South America, the Seth Green team faithfully brings the message of Jesus to those in need, building churches, training pastors, working with international leaders and securing our religious freedoms. Set Free touches others for Jesus. Whether using old-fashioned evangelistic crusades or even the newer mediums of television and the internet, we bring the message of the kingdom of heaven to those around us. And now our hosts, Dr. Dale and Terry Climie.
Ephesians chapter 2, and beginning at verse 6, and in, if you don't have your Bibles, or if the writing in your Bible is so small that you can't make it out, we have it in the bulletin for everybody. But let's go to the Lord in prayer first. Again, Father God, we look to you for our guidance and our direction. We look to you, Lord, not to fill us up with the wisdom or the knowledge of man, but, Father, that your Holy Spirit will open our eyes, our spiritual eyes, and the eyes of our hearts, Father, so that we can discern what is your perfect will for our lives. Father, we ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, last Sunday, we left off on verse 6. And Paul says he's raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Amen. And so, as we've already said, that, you know, we look at God, you're preparing a place for us, a mansion in heaven, and some, you know, we even sing songs about the mansion that God has prepared for us in heaven, but we don't sing too many songs about the place that he has provided right next to him. Amen. And, you know, before I understood what the plan of God was for me in glory, I was kind of thinking about how I was going to decorate my mansion. You know, spend some time and how I'm going to get my mansion fixed up and what I want where or whatever. Do they come pre-decorated? You think those mansions come furnished? Yeah, probably. Okay. But now that I begin to understand that... yeah, there's a mansion. He's prepared a place for us. And Jesus said, in my Father's house are you know, many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you. But also here in Ephesians, he says, besides that, he has prepared a place next to him for each one of us. And I tell you what, once I read that and understood that, I just figured, man, I'm going to sublet my mansion. Amen. If I have a place next to Jesus in glory, why would I want to spend any time anywhere else? Amen. So he's raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Now, verse 7. So that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Now, how many of you, and of course it's a rhetorical question, how many of you have ever gone to visit the doctor? And what do you see when you go into the doctor's office? Oh, of course, he's going to have the pictures on the wall and stuff like that. But I know when we go to see the cardiologist, you know, the first thing you see when you walk in is he has this huge portrait of himself in his doctoral gowns, you know. And so here's this great, big, impressive picture of the doctor. And then in every room, he has a copy of all of his certificates and degrees and his specialties and all of these things. And so when you go in there, you say, my, this guy is quite accomplished. You see everything that he has, and you know, and he's just letting you know, that's right, just take a deep breath and let go of your wallet, because I've got it all under control. All right? And so he's showing off, you might say, what his capabilities are. And you know, everybody kind of likes to show off just a little bit, don't they? You get a new car, you gotta show off that new car just a little bit. I know when Joy got her new Soul, you know, she just, look at this pretty new car, and Terry got her three-wheel tricycle, and we had to take that over and show our friends. You know, when we get something, we kind of want to show it off. And you know what? I found out that God kind of likes to show off a little bit too. He does. In verse 7 it says, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. He wants to show us off. This is what I did in the life of this one, of that child. This is what he accomplished. Amen? And as I said last week, you know, sometimes we like to think that we're quite a catch. Boy, God, you got a good deal when you saved me. But as we grow in Christ, just as the Apostle Paul did, we end up crying out in despair, oh, wicked man that I am, who is able to deliver me from this body of bondage? And we recognize just how far we are from God's grace on our own. And so verse 7 says that we are the ones that God likes to brag about. And you say, well, Pastor, you really think that, you know, God likes to brag on his children? Sure do. Have you ever read the book of Job? What's the book of Job? God sitting up there minding his own business. And Satan comes along and you know, makes a casual accusation. Ah, nobody serves you, God. They're just down there doing their own thing. Nobody cares about you. And God says, have you considered my servant Job? And the devil says, it's on. It's on. I'll show you your servant Job. And through it all, Job maintained his integrity before the Lord. Amen? Had to get a little talking to from the Lord at the end there, but he maintained his integrity before the Lord. God was showing off Job to Satan. Now, that happened one time thousands of years ago. You reckon it's ever happened since? I'm breaking back down to my Arkansas talk, if you notice that. You reckon? You think that's ever happened since then? Do you think Satan has ever come along and accused any of us before the Father? You know, that's the name of Satan. One of his names is he's the accuser of the brethren. That's what he does, is he accuses us. And do you think that he's ever come along and accused one of us before the Father? And right now your little minds are just going on and said, aha, that's what was happening when I was going through that rough time in my life. Amen. God said, have you considered my servant Joy or Jesse or Richard or whomever? Have you thought about them? And Satan says, okay, we'll see if we can break them. God wants to be able to show us off, not just right now, but in the ages to come. You know, when I had the little company, Arcados, and we did some consulting work, and when you came into my office, I had all the different certificates and diplomas and whatever I'd ever had. I had them all up on this wall. Just, you know, when people come in, they can say, oh, wow, I'm impressed. and I did that to impress them. That's right, you can come to us and feel free and giving us all your money and we'll take care of you. And there was a reason for that, you know, that I was kind of trying to impress them. But you know, God doesn't have to impress anybody, does he? But he says, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Now, if he's going to be bragging on each one of us individually, the surpassing riches of his grace, that's what he has planned for each one of us. Not just crumbs. You know, Terry has that little puppy, and he's just a little crumb vacuum. You know, you put him on the ground, if it's there, whether it's edible or not, he's a hound dog. He doesn't care. Plastic, pieces of, you know, whatever. But food is good. All right, crumbs is good. And he just going around sniffing. Pretty soon you'll see him. He'll bite on something. But, you know, we look at that little dog, and he's just ready to grab anything that comes his way. And we say things like he's a little crumb magnet or whatever. You know, God didn't put us here to live off of the crumbs of his grace. Amen? And yet, sometimes that's how we act. Oh, I don't want to bother the Father for that. There might be some physical need, some healing need, some financial need. Oh, I don't want to bother God for that. Why not? He wants to show off, he wants to brag on us about the surpassing riches of his grace in each one of our lives. That's his standard of how he wants to bless us. Not just a little bit, but surpassing. And then in verse 8, he says, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and not that of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one may boast. And so what is he saying? Anything that we have, anything that we may have accomplished or ever will accomplish, is through his grace. Amen? So, if it's not through works of righteousness so that I can boast, but it's according to his grace, then how much bragging can I do on myself? None? Oh, come on. I mean, I may have accomplished a few good things. I can't brag just a little bit about my, you know, successes in life. No, you mean that everything that I have is not a result of my works, but a result of his grace? So there's no bragging left on my part except when I brag on my God. Amen? Amen. And so the question now that I want to leave everybody with this morning is, how much bragging can God do on you? You know, we as parents and grandparents, you know, you don't ever want to walk up to one of us and say, hey, do you have any grandkids? Because we're going to pull out a wallet full of pictures and we're going to start bragging about everything that our kids have done. And, you know, but how many of us would say, you know, all except for this one here, he is as dumb as a stump. You know, we don't know how this one, you know, whatever, he's the one we've got to pray for. You know, how many of you have ever said of one of your own grandkids, you know, this kid is the ugliest kid that I've ever seen? I mean, other people might, you know, but, you know, when it comes to us, he just, bless his heart, you know, this is just the sweetest little boy or the sweetest little girl, or my grandson might be having some problems, but, you know, God bless him. He's just, you know, we want to be able to brag on our children and on our grandchildren and see all the things that they've accomplished. How do you think God, our Heavenly Father, feels? Because he's already told us in verse 7 that he's planning on doing some bragging on us. Amen? so that in the age to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. He's already planning on doing some bragging on us. And so what we need to do is make sure that we are obedient to what he is doing in our lives. Amen? So that when he goes ahead and says, let me tell you about, fill in the blank, put your name here, let me tell you about, what has God accomplished? What have we let him accomplish in our lives? Amen? The Apostle Paul, one of his epistles, he ended up by saying, I pray that I won't do something that will disqualify me. And, you know, you look at, here's the person that brought Christianity to the civilized world. Here's the guy that wrote most of our New Testament. And yet his concern was that he would do something that would disqualify him. That doesn't mean that he didn't, you know, he was disqualified from going to heaven. But would disqualify him in God being able to show his riches, his mercy, and his grace through Paul. And, you know, that was the thing that was always on Paul's mind. God, am I there where you can use me? And when you do call on me, am I obedient? That needs to be our prayer this morning. Father God, we do.
Morning comes, another day. Time doesn't wait, it doesn't stay. You have a choice you must make. How will you face it all? Life just winds like a mountain road. Sometimes yes and sometimes no. Good or bad, nobody knows. Will you choose to stand or fall? Just when you choose to take it on, the waves stop and the sea goes calm. You lie down to rest your mind. Here comes the rain. Yeah, welcome to the journey.